Genesis chapter 28. And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. In other words, I don't want you to marry these unbelieving girls. And I give Isaac credit for that. He says in verse 2, Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take you a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Now, whether these people actually worshipped the one true God, that's questionable. But that at least they retained the knowledge of him. And so this is where Jacob, who is in the line of Christ, needs to find a wife. Verse 3, And God Almighty bless you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, that you may be a multitude of people, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you, and to your seed with you, that you may inherit the land wherein you are a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And so Isaac seems to be accepting now the will of God, because the blessing that Jacob stole, and then didn't steal, but got from his father through trickery, is now given by Isaac of his own free will. Verse 5. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. So Jacob is concerned. He certainly isn't perfect, and he's got a long way to go. But he did, underneath it all, have a heart for God, and he wants to do the right thing. So he obeyed his parents. He knows that he has the messianic blessing, and it's up to him to find the right type of woman to marry. 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he blessed him, he gave him a charge, or that went as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Esau picked up on that, and he started thinking, you know, I think I've married the wrong kind of girls. Verse 7, And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. 8, And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, and the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. So, really, a futile attempt by Esau to gain the favor of his parents and maybe some type of blessing from them, something close perhaps to what his dad gave to Jacob. He evidently thinks, and you talk about a worldly mindset and no spiritual intuition on this guy's part at all, no spiritual sensitivity at all, because he wrongly concludes that the reason he lost the blessing to Jacob is because he married the wrong type of women. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't have a heart for God, never did, never will. Verse 10, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he's on his way alone. At least he thinks he's alone. 11, And he stopped at a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he traveled a long way that first day. He wanted to get away from his brother as fast as he possibly could. So he's dead tired. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And so he sees this vision of angels going up and down this ladder between earth and heaven. You know, angels do that. I'm not saying they climb a ladder and climb down a ladder, but they're constantly going between heaven and earth. They are sent by God to perform some duty, and then they return and report back. We know that from the book of Daniel 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to you will I give it and to your seed. Now, not only did his father give him the messianic blessing, but God just rubber stamped it. He confirmed it, which must have made Jacob feel pretty good, because he did get that blessing by trickery, and that was wrong. But God is so gracious, isn't he? He assures Jacob that even though it was done by trickery, and it didn't need to be done by trickery, because it was going to happen in the will of God, somehow, some way, God would have made it happen. Anyway, he gives Jacob the assurance that he's in God's will, having that blessing, in spite of how he received it. 14, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that seed is Christ. Salvation for the entire world, for all who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, is there. And that is Jacob's descendant, Jesus. 15, and behold, I am with you, and will keep you in all places where you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. In other words, you're going to have success. It's going to be a successful journey. And when it's all done, I'm going to bring you home. So Jacob can be confident that God is going to protect him, and everything will be okay. Now, he didn't say how long this would all take, but he did give him the final promise. 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Well, he knew the one true God. He knew that God was everywhere, but he didn't know that. He didn't know that God would give him a revelation in this place. 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Well, he saw the heavens opened, and he heard the voice of God, so he was pretty impressed with that. So, this is the gate of heaven. Verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He's going to turn it into an altar. 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And so Bethel means house of God. 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Well, Jacob has a long ways to go. He seems to be suggesting that he'll make a deal with God. If you do everything that you said, God, then you will be my God. Well, you don't have to worry about God doing what he said. He's going to do it. But God doesn't make a deal with anyone. He is our God, and we should treat him that way, whether he does everything that we would like him to do or not. In this case, he will, because it's according to his word. And you can, with confidence, say that God is my God, and you can with confidence serve God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ, because His word is true, and everything that He said He will do, He will do. And everything that He has said He has done, He has done. Verse 21. Actually, verse 22. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. Now, there's another reference to paying tithes to God. There seems to be something that was just placed within the heart of God's people. Because we saw Abraham pay tithes to Melchizedek, and now Jacob promises to tithe to God. And in tithing, giving 10% was a part of the Mosaic Law, will be a part of the Mosaic Law when it is given, but it precedes that. So it's a good benchmark, a good principle to guide God's people when it comes to giving.